Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
In honor of Oregon Penn State Week, I had the thought the other day, I was wondering if Jerry Sandusky was still alive, and I couldn't remember if he had died or not.
I thought he passed.
He did not.
I think he's just still in prison.
Yeah, right? He's in prison.
Yeah.
And he is 81 years old, and what's interesting about that is, and this will never happen, okay? So Jerry Sandusky is not getting out.
No.
But... he could technically be a free man again. He got 30 to 60 years. Mm-hmm. His 30 year is 2042. He would be in his upper 90s.
So in theory, he could get
parole. In theory, he could, but they won't allow that. And he probably won't live that long. But I just wanted to point out that Jerry Sandusky is still alive.
Still alive.
And
rotting in prison.
Too bad.
Also, yeah, it really is too bad. Also, still married.
What?
Yeah, she stuck by him through that whole
thing.
God.
Even, man.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah. That is wild.
But, you know, I mean, he's in prison, so like.
You know, that happens a lot, though, like murderers and this sort of stuff. Dude, all time, there's a bunch of times where the wife, she sticks by him.
So does she think it didn't happen like they say it did, or does she just accept that it has and doesn't
care? When
she
was doing the, I remember like the Bob Costas interviews and stuff. Yeah, she denied that it happened. Remember, it happened at... like even with like some of like the kids that were in their house.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she denies that it ever happened.
Boy.
So I jotted down 6 concerns for Oregon.
Okay.
You tell me if they're
legit.
Is
one of them that the Mets are down 5-1 already?
Oh no, they're losing 5-1?
Yes.
They are.
God, who could have seen that coming?
We started out 1-0.
Are you just stunned?
But they're back.
Yeah, I hate you both. So go to hell.
True story.
Are the Reds still losing?
I turned that one off good to watch this.
They were down 4-2.
Let's take a look.
Yeah. Okay.
Continue. Don't be distracted by my pathetic Mets.
Yeah, you've distracted me already.
Don't do it.
But I'm back. Here we go. Okay, here's my focus.
Still 4-2.
My award-winning focus.
Yes.
Okay, the first one is this. Dan Lanning, 39-6 at Oregon.
Yes.
How many true top 25 road wins does he have?
I'm guessing not many. Maybe one.
He has one. Can you name it? True. Okay, so... let me define true for those listening in radio land.
Mm-hmm.
True road wins, true top 25 road win means you're playing a top 25 team at their home stadium, not neutral site, not bowl game.
It'll be something weird like UCLA or USC or something.
It was that Utah game.
Utah.
In late October 2023, they went in there. It was a good win.
Yeah.
Utah was ranked 13th and they beat him 35-6.
Okay.
That's his only true top 25 road win.
Yeah.
The only two other true top 25 road games were losses. One was the Oregon State comeback in 2022.
Sure.
They were ranked that year.
Georgia,
and,
maybe?
Well, no, Washington in 2023.
Yeah.
Georgia, again, neutral site.
Neutral site.
So, does that concern you?
No, it doesn't concern me. I don't... one, he hasn't been the coach that long. I don't think that winning on the road against top 25 teams is difficult. I mean, we've done this before. When you look through, even good coaches on the road against top 25 teams, it's usually not like an 80% win percentage, right?
Well,
like,
I'm not saying that. I'm saying, would this be concerning for this particular game? He's 1-2 in true top 25. I mean, I know that he's going to have a lower winning percentage in these games, most likely, but he's 1-2 so far, and this is a different animal than any of those other three.
I'll tell you that Penn State on the road is a challenge. The fact that he is 1-2 to me has zero bearing on this game. The concern is that it's Penn State on the road, and any team, whether you're, if you're playing a top 10, because this isn't even a top 25, if you're playing a top 10 team on the road, that is concern. But the overall record and the fact that there's been three, I take absolutely no, just that is such a small sample size that I put no bearing in it.
Well, I think the idea is that the small sample size is the problem. Like he just hasn't had many of these experiences. He hasn't taken teams into
opportunities.
See, I'm more concerned with in these big games, the defense almost has, the defense doesn't show up. That is my much bigger concern, is that when they've played the better teams, the games that they've lost, they don't lose games. They're not losing games like, you know, what would you say, like 24-17. They're losing games like 38-34. Like, and so that's my thing, is the defense has to show up in these games. Because you mentioned the road games, right? Washington was one, and what was the other one that they lost?
Oregon State.
Again, that's a matter of the defense has to show up. That's a bigger concern than me than the idea of that being a road game.
So the Matrix has Oregon's defense. Now, this was before the Oregon State game.
Yeah.
Because I don't have his latest.
Yeah.
But he had, so this is Dave Bartu of the Matrix. So far, inefficiencies, offense, Portland, Penn State, 14th.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon's defense, 63rd.
Yeah.
Penn State defense, 3rd. Oregon's offense, 3rd. Yeah. So one of these things is not like the other, at least so far with the Matrix. And again, that's only through 3 weeks, not four. And he had Oregon 63rd.
And that, again, that goes back to my deeper concern is Tosh Lapoy, the defense, has been, if there is an Achilles heel for this team, it has been that in these big games. And so far they just haven't been tested because they haven't played anyone with any sort of ability to challenge them. But we did see Northwestern force them to out of their base defense and have to put an extra linebacker in. We saw Oregon State have one drive where they ran the ball effectively. Oklahoma State and Montana State offered no threat whatsoever. And I look at a young secondary that's really, really talented, but young and has not been tested, although there have been some coverage breakdowns, and a defensive line to me that is my biggest concern. If I had to circle one thing, I'm not certain that this defensive front is great against the run. And I think when Penn State watched Northwestern and that Oregon State series, I think Penn State believes that they can run it on Oregon, and they're going to run them out of the 4-2-5, have to bring an extra backer in, and then that puts more pressure on that secondary. My biggest concern, this Oregon D-line versus the Penn State offensive line.
Concern number two, experience. Penn State returned 14 starters from a team that went to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Oregon returned 5. Penn State's returning starters were tied for the 5th most in Power 4, whereas Oregon, there were only 5 Power 4 teams that returned fewer.
Yeah.
Experience. They are older.
Yeah.
Oregon is younger. How big of a factor is that to you?
Not overly concerned, because some of the guys that they brought in have played a lot of football. The 3 transfers coming in on their own line have all played a ton of football. Yes, they haven't played in this environment, but it's not all freshmen. Although the secondary is loaded with freshmen, and DeCorian Moore is a freshman, and he's one of your big playmakers. So would I like this to be a little more of a veteran presence at some spots? Sure. Is it a concern? Small one. Okay. I don't think it's
more so than the road.
Yes.
True road wins.
Yes.
Okay. Number 3. Now the word is that Will Stein's name is hot.
Yeah.
In the agent / search firm circles.
Yes.
Could Will Stein's eye be off the ball?
This is one that I have never liked, and it always worries me. And I don't know how real that is. I don't like that. Always concerns me.
So it is a concern.
I think it is.
So Oklahoma State fired their coach today. Virginia Tech and UCLA are on the hunt.
Yeah.
You also have Arkansas, Florida, Virginia, who could have openings soon.
Yeah.
Will Stein's name is a hot name out there.
Yes.
To be fair, so is Kotelnicki, the Penn State offensive coordinator.
All those guys.
So his eye could be off the ball, too. I don't know. I think this, we've talked about this before. I feel like this, particularly when it comes to head coaches, but also coordinators, this is one of the bigger factors in college football that we really can't quantify. We have no idea, but it is definitely a thing.
Yes.
And I just wonder, this early in the season, is Will Stein, I mean, I'm sure his agent's trying to shield him from all that.
And they are, and all that. I just think in at this level, you have to have every little I dotted and T crossed. And I've always just one of those guys that I don't like when my guy is whispered around, but that just comes with the territory. And when you have a successful program, your guys are going to get talked about. So,
but
that may be a concern that I have, and I don't know. I don't have any way of quantifying if that is an actual real factor in any of these games.
Well, I think the thing that concerns me about that is, one, Will Stein's name is very hot.
Yes.
But two, you've already got a bunch of openings, and so you know that there's some jockeying for position. If he's one of the top names, these things may be getting further down the road.
It's possible.
Because you want to beat the other schools to a guy.
Yeah.
Then we think, and that means Will Stein's having conversations with his wife. He's having conversations with, you know,
sure.
Like, well, it's like, a.
We go back to the Oregon State when Jonathan Smith left. We know that and you know, maybe that was obviously, you know, like week eight or something. But like, that to me was a real factor in that season. Oh yeah,
happened with Cristobal too.
Absolutely.
So okay, so we're getting warmer with concerns here.
Sure.
So I have 1, 2, 3, 4 more. Okay. I said I had 6. I actually have 7.
Okay.
So we'll get to those next, talking a little Oregon, Penn State. But first, here's Buck with Sports Center.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we've got a little Oregon-Penn State hour going here, digging into this game. I've presented 3 what could be concerns for Oregon at Penn State. Souk did not like one of them, lukewarm on another, and the third was a concern. The first one was Dan Lanning, 1-2 at Oregon in true top 25 road games. So they haven't had many games, but he's only won one of them, and it was at Utah. This, a little different. Top 5 team here, and Happy Valley was like 100, what is it, how many people are in
100,000,
this?
100,000 plus, like 101, something like that.
2 was experience. Penn State is the more experienced team. That didn't seem to bother you too much, but 3, Will Stein, could his eye be off the ball? That is always a thing to Souk. Okay, so here's the next one. Concern or not a concern, Dante Moore's handling of fire. So you've got a kid here who has 13 starts. Mm-hmm. Drew Aller has 32.
Yeah.
Moore, I went back and looked at Dante Moore's biggest true top 25 road games as a starter. Now, granted, he was at UCLA. That was an 8-win team when he was the starter there. So they weren't bad, but he was new. It was his first year as a starter. They lost both of those games. He only scored 7 points at Utah, and they dropped 24 at Oregon State, but lost. His numbers are not good in those two games. 2 touchdowns, 4 picks. Only 19 of 68. But again, different quarterback, different system.
Looks completely different.
So Dante Moore's handling of fire. I just go back to the playoff game and Jim Knowles and the way they just had Gabriel running for his life.
Yeah.
How does Dante Moore handle that if Knowles can get that kind of pressure?
Absolutely, it's a concern. I think, and you could say this almost across the board, when you don't know, there's a lot of groups that just haven't faced fire. I mentioned the secondary. Big concern because they have not played in these sorts of games. And Dante Moore has not played in this sort of game. Dante Moore did not play meaningful snaps at UCLA. I'm sorry. That thing was a disaster. It was 4 or 5 games and it was done. And now he sat at Oregon and the first 4 games have been spoon-fed to him. And he's looked amazing. Right, he does exactly what you're supposed to do against inferior competition, but he has not faced pressure He has not been forced out of the pocket. Yeah, I mean, he's had a couple overthrows. He's had the one interception at Northwestern, but I mean, essentially he has been as good as you could conceivably want. But what we don't know about Dante Moore is, like you said, what happens when he gets heated up? What happens when there's pressure in his lap? What happens when they have to come from behind on the road? What happens now when you can't audible at the line because there's 100,000 people? So 100% of these, it's not even close. That is by far the biggest concern, is this will be his first true in the fire against a team that is comparable to what you have and in a hostile environment. Absolutely is a concern.
So that goes hand in hand with the next one. This is the same defensive coordinator who stuffed your offense in the playoffs last year.
Yes.
Concern?
Yes.
Not a concern.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a concern. And it's, I mean,
Jimmy Knowles.
And again, it's the first team that physically might be able to do something against you. Like, everyone knows when you're sitting there in Oregon and you watch your team play. I use an example of this. I was doing my little West Coast bias, which is just my football little podcast. And I brought up an example of it. Let's say I'm a center, right? And I have to, because I'm just living in my world of offensive line, I have to reach a three technique outside zone. So I'm a center and I have to get all the way to a defensive tackle that's playing on the shoulder of my guard. It's a tough block for a center to make. And for the first 4 weeks, we're running this outside zone and I make that block. Right. All I need is a little chip from my left guard and I can scoop that three and we're off to the races and we're running. I can watch film on that for 3 or 4 straight weeks, knowing that that's a tough block, and I can have confidence. I'm like, yeah, I can make that block and we're all watching film. But all of a sudden now I'm playing a defensive tackle and I know that's a tough block. And I'm like, I think I can make it, but I don't know, because that's a different player now that I'm facing. So there is always that concern of, this is the first time that someone physically can do something to make me uncomfortable. And the fact that you do have a very, very good defensive coordinator over there that last year, like you said, put you in chains. Absolutely, that should be a concern.
Now, he didn't the first time, though.
No, he did not.
But he adjusted for the second time. And, you know, that's where I think I go back to experience, what you're saying. Like, I do think the experience factor matters. And again, it's not like they're all freshmen, like you said, but yeah. You having been in these types of games and being on. Being made uncomfortable like that,
yeah,
it's. I think it's important to have been through a few of those, and if this is your first time, you know, I just think you're better equipped to handle it if you've been through it.
Then the nice thing for Oregon is both of these teams haven't been tested this year at all. They've all been on cruise control, and I will say this, having watched good hunks of all three Penn State games, Penn State has played patsies, and Penn State has not looked great against those. Every one of those games, there has been pushback. Oregon has had no pushback. And I don't know if this is Penn State just literally playing as vanilla and as bland as humanly possible, and they knew what they had, and they're going to hold everything for Oregon. But I'm telling you, especially like on third downs and even in some fourth down situations, Penn State has not looked particularly sharp all year in their three games. And Oregon has. So at least from that just this year, Oregon has looked like the better team than Penn State, both against inferior competition.
And then two others, concern or not a concern, the revenge factor.
Yeah, that's, yeah, I don't think there's anything to that. I mean, both of these teams know what's at stake. Both of these teams know that they're national title type teams. And I just, you know, and neither one of these ends the season if they lose it. I'm not concerned at all about Penn State being super fired up. I mean, both squads, after a month straight of patsies, dude, both of these teams are going to be chomping at the bit and frothing for this one. And Lanning has done a great job of leaning into these moments and not, you know, doing the, oh, it's just another game. He goes, no, he will have his team sky high for this, just like James Franklin will.
Okay, and then the last one is Penn State is coming off a bye. Concern or not a concern?
I'd rather Penn State not be. I mean, early in the season, I don't think the rest is as important, but I do think an extra week of prep, an extra week of seeing Oregon on film, I think, you know, I think Lanny would probably say the same thing. I think you would rather be coming off a bye if you're Penn State. And I don't mean to disparage Northwestern or Oregon State. Something tells me that Oregon has been working behind the scenes on Penn State for a while.
Yeah.
I don't think everything was used to prep Northwestern and Oregon State.
I don't know. I have a lot of respect for both coordinators at Penn State, and I just think that's such a – I think it's an advantage getting a week to just sit and wait for – and watch you and wait for you.
Yep.
But you're right, Oregon, I mean, I'm sure they've been behind the scenes getting ready for Penn State as well.
My – again, I go back to it. If I had to go with my concerns, I'll go with my just top three off the top of my head. Defense in big games has been a problem at Oregon. Again, I don't think Dan Lanning has lost a game at Oregon when they have scored less than 32 points. Like, their defense just has not shown up in big games. That's my number one concern. Defensive line being number two, and a young, unproven secondary in big moments when there has been some breakdowns. As you can tell, I think their offense is going to be fine. Most of my concern lies on the defensive side of the football.
Or it could all come back to the fact that James Franklin is 4-20 against the top 10.
Bingo.
And he doesn't win these games.
No,
and
he does not.
He just really doesn't.
No.
And I think it's even worse against top 5. And I'm not sure. Where's Oregon ranked this week? Are they 6?
I think 6.
Okay, so this wouldn't apply, but he's 1-15 against the AP top 5. Mm.
And I'm telling you.
I mean, nobody expects Penn State to win.
No.
And yeah, they're favored.
Yep. And I said it after 2 weeks, and I know Oregon has come back to the pack a little bit the last 2 weeks where they look great. They just don't look like they did the first 2 weeks. I said it after week two. Oregon will beat Penn State. Watching these two teams, Oregon is better than Penn State. I really do feel that. I just have – every time I've watched Penn State, I get left wanting more, and they just don't look that sharp. So I think Oregon goes in, and I think Oregon nicks them.
Primetime follow-up is coming up next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. PNC's apply, in app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.